Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson in basic theology. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. What is a Thanksgiving prayer? Well, a Thanksgiving prayer allows people to thank God for what they are given by God. A prayer of Thanksgiving addresses a number of factors, including people, objects, life, food, shelter, nature, health, or weather. In daily life, people thank others for holding open a door, a gift received, or a meal shared. According to the Case for Christ Study Bible, Psalms 100 describes this prayer, and it says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all 9 of his gifts. And that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I want to also give thanks to Block Talk Radio, YouTube, Facebook, X, to all the social medias that broadcast our pray one for another. Amen. To God be the glory, to continue to bless them and strengthen them in his name. And now at this time, I would like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come
to
God, where he leads. Right now, we're going to spend about a minute in inspiration for women. Where he leads. What would you do if God suddenly called you to a different ministry? Sometimes when you have a few minutes for yourself, take a card and write these words. Anything, anywhere, anytime, at any cost. Then date the note. Can you, in all honesty, sign it? God's role is to lead us. Our job is to follow. How are you doing? Have you looked into God's wonderful face and into his eyes of love and wisdom? Truly, dear Lord, where you lead me, I will follow. Do these words express the deep longing of your heart? Are you following him today? If not, you will. Will you? Excuse me. Will you? Let us pray. God, you are our reason for living, our salvation, our comfort, our provider, our love. We choose today to follow you every step of the way. When the way gets hard and we falter, encourage us and give us strength. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And this for all women of God. At this time, I will play another selection, Higher Ground. Praise God.
Well, come on, put your hands together. If you know you're going high in Jesus, I know I am. Come on, listen. Set up.
Praise be to God. I can't wait till I get up yonder where there will be no more pain, no more dying, no more crying. To God be the glory. Right now, I want to share a little grace for today. And it says, God's faithful love. In Psalms 85, in Psalms 85, 2-3, and verse 6, you forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? It has become common nowadays to deny sin and its consequences. But there are millions of people who live under the burden of their sin. A feeling of guilt is often a gift of God's grace to give our lives new meaning, to lead us to a new and more productive life. But an even greater gift from God is his grace that allows us to move in a new direction once our sins have been forgiven. If we just confess our sin and ask for forgiveness, then God is merciful and will forgive us. Think of all that he has already forgiven and give him praise. Amen? Praise be to God. Let us pray. We thank and praise you, Lord, our God, that in your mercy you have forgiven all our sins and help us to bear fruit to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And that is our grace for today. Praise God. And at this time, again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. Praise God.
In the heavens and on earth, in the seas and all their depths, greater than all, greater.
realize I know here is 5:20.
God, let us pray. No one is like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is mighty in power. Who should not revere you, O King of the nations? This is your due. Among all the wise leaders of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is no one like you. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, the eternal King. Amen, amen, and amen. Jeremiah 10, verses 6 through 7, and verse 10. The Lord is great. A prayer for our hearts. Praise God. Now, at this time, I'd like to read a little devotional, and it's entitled, Forgive Everybody. In Matthew 6:14-15, in the CSB Bible, it says, for if you forgive people their wrongdoing, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive people, your Father will not forgive your wrongdoing. Amen? Praise be to God. The world holds few, if any, rewards for those who remain angrily focused on the past. Still, the act of forgiveness is difficult for all but the most saintly men and women. Are you mired in the quicksand of bitterness or retreat or regret? If so, you are not only disobeying God's word, you are also wasting your time being frail, fallible, imperfect human beings. Most of us are quick to anger, quick to blame, slow to forgive, and even slower to forget. Yet as Christians, we are commanded to forgive others, just as we too have been forgiven. If there exists even one person, alive or dead, against whom you hold bitter feelings, it's time to forgive. Or if you are embittered against yourself for some past mistake or shortcoming, it's finally time to forgive yourself and move on. Hatred, bitterness, and regret are not part of God's plan for your life. Forgiveness is. There are too many unforgiving people, angry people in the world today for you to hold on to animosity and unforgiveness. Lamentation 3 and 22 tells us, the fact is, God no longer deals with us in judgment, but in mercy. If people got what they deserve, this old planet would have ripped apart at the seams centuries ago. Praise God that because of his great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never failed. God expects us to forgive others as he has forgiven us. We are to follow his example by having a forgiving heart. The more you practice the art of forgiving, the quicker you'll master the art of living. To hold on to hate and resentment is to throw a monkey wrench into the machinery of life. Here's a thought. Forgiveness is its own reward. Bitterness is its own punishment. Guard your words and your thoughts accordingly. Be even tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Colossians 3, 13 through 14 in the Message Bible. Proverbs 11 and 12 says, whoever shows contempt for his neighbor lacks sense, but a man with understanding keeps silent. Luke 6 and 36, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ, Ephesians 4 and 32. Let us pray. Dear Lord, let forgiveness rule our heart, even when forgiveness is difficult. And God knows some of us just cannot let go of the past. But let me be your obedient servant, Lord, and let us be women and men who forgives others just as you have forgiven us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. So my brothers and sisters, there's enough hatred and unforgiveness in the world today. Don't be one of those who carry that spirit in your hearts. Amen. Forgive and forget. At this time, I will play another selection. Because because God will see you through.
No matter how hard it gets, you can make it. No matter how rough the road may seem, you will overtake it. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how rough the road may seem, God will see you through.
Dear saints, it's obvious we're living in troubled times. Every time you hear the news, no jobs, no homes, but so much crime. Countries are in despair, chaos is everywhere, but there's a remedy if we'll take the time to just believe that.
No matter how hard it gets, you can make it. No matter how rough the road may be, you will overtake it. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how rough the road may be, God will see you through.
Tell your heart to pray, gotta fall on your knees, he'll hear your cry, he's right on time, that is a guarantee that
no matter how hard it gets, you can make it, no matter how rough the road may seem, you will overtake it, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how rough the road may seem, God will see you through.
Doubt in my mind that I know God will see you through.
Sometimes it feels like all your strength is gone.
You say I'm tired, what's the point? No reason to carry on.
What he's done for others,
he'll do the same for you.
His cat, oh yeah, kids, do the one who
really loves you.
Keep on praying, trusting,
believe without a doubt. How rough the road may seem, you will overtake it. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how rough the road may seem, God will see you through.
No matter how hard the road may get, he will see you through. Second place. In Colossians 3:13, in the Message Bible says, be even tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. Competition is a part of life. Between sports, grades, and more, we have all competed in some way. The prize goal is first place. We can work our hardest, practice, study, get up early to run that extra mile, and then it's time to show up, and second place happens. We didn't get the first place trophy. We did not get that A, or we didn't get that coveted job. The one thing about second place versus first is that there is a goal to strive toward. When we're already in first place, we're competing to keep a title or even competing against our own record. We are reminded in Colossians to be content with second place. Take the role of the vice president, for instance. The vice president is viewed as an advisor to the number one spot, the president. But isn't this supporting role just as important as the main role? The vice president represents our country at the important meetings. He or she serves as an important liaison between the administration and Congress and sometimes head up important task force too. Can you imagine the president trying to do all of this alone, along with his job? Absolutely not. We weren't made to be the best at everything individually. God gives us all unique talents and gifts. Some people will excel at one, whereas you will excel at another. We all need each other in this world. We need people who are the best at cooking, or practicing medicine, at designing highways and teaching children. We need people who are amazing at cutting hair or producing a television show. And we need people who are skilled in supporting roles. Those who will offer advice, roll up their sleeves, and remember that their work is not secondary. Our work is important to God, who placed us in our role for a reason. And it isn't it best to be where God needs us to be. You got this. Have you ever come in second place? How did it make you feel? The next time you're not placed first, remember what we learned from Colossians. Just as important to God. When we experience times like these, it helps us to have scripture reminding us that each of our roles is important in life. Amen. Praise be to God. You got this. Thank you, Jesus. Let us pray. Hi. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We appeal to this name more than any other. We frequently ask you to give us this or that, and we come once again doing the same. Yet we ask you to give to us only what will produce the greatest growth in us and the most far-reaching impact for your kingdom on earth. You reveal yourself as Jehovah Jireh when you met Abraham on the mountain just as he was about to sacrifice the pride of his life, his son Isaac. To you, too often we forget the gravity of the situation when you first shared this name. Instead, we look to you as a cosmic genie, ready to dispense favors at our command. Let us know you in the truest and most authentic form of this name, Jehovah Jireh. As you meet us in our pain, in our sacrifice and dedication to you, let us see you on the mountaintop of our own struggles. Come through for us as you did in providing Abraham's sacrifice. In your name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, at this time, I will play another selection, and I will come back with our devotional message for this evening. Praise God. Where it says, from any tree of the garden, you may eat freely. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. Whenever we read today's verse, we may be tempted to jump ahead and think of the outcome. Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, which resulted in the fall of humanity. However, today, I ask you to consider how much God allowed rather than what he prohibited. He said, from any tree of the garden, you may eat freely. We don't know exactly how many trees that was, whether it was hundreds or thousands of different kinds. But the point is, the first couple could enjoy all of it. Almonds, apricots, avocados, cashews, cherries, coconuts, dates, oranges, limes, figs, guava, mangoes, nectarines, olives, peaches, pears, pecans, pistachios, plums, pomegranates, walnuts, and so much more. The only restriction was the fruit that would bring them harm. The same is true for you. You may want to focus on what you cannot have, but that will inevitably lead you to trouble. But victory will come when you focus on all God has given you. In Philippians 4 and 8, therefore, set your mind to thank and praise him for all he's provided for you to enjoy. Amen? Praise God. Jesus, thank you for all the blessings you have given us. We set our mind on you. In your name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. I hope and pray that that devotional message was a blessing to you as it was to me. Praise God. And as we're going to soon go into our study for this evening, I will play another short selection while we are waiting on our speaker for this evening.
Throughout my life, there have been many trials and tribulations, but there one thing I come to know without a doubt is that God can and God will. Therefore, I know I can always.
When you're feeling down, you need to know that there's a safe place you can go to share your despair. Fall down on your knees to help you save your feet. Cast your cares on him. Supply all your needs. Friends and family, they can walk away. But when you call on God, he'll come and save the day. He loves and cares for you, and he will see you through. You both can walk hand in hand through the storm, he will say.
Call on Jesus. He will lift you up and like the leader. Better recognize something like a preacher. From dust to dust, I fall down to my knees. I wipe my slate clean, put my mind at ease. He's the rock that I always can lean on at all times. A name I can call on. Jesus.
Standards. I would like to read our devotion, Morning with Jesus, a daily encouragement for your soul. Amen. Tuesday, March 19th. In Romans 7:24-25, in the NIV says, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen for the reading of the word. While trying to educate myself on nutrition, I recently came across an article that encouraged readers to eat foods that would give life to their bodies. That particular wording stunned. I know I need to eat healthier, but my favorite foods are often salty, creamy, chocolatey, buttery, fluffy, and caffeinated. I know that pure water and raw fruits and vegetables are good choices, and when I choose them, I'm completely satisfied. But I give in to eating what's not so healthy for me more than I would like. My lack of willpower leaves me feeling defeated. The Apostle Paul captured his feelings of hopelessness in Romans 7. Instead of doing the good things he wanted to do, he did the evil things that he did not want to do. Romans 7 and 19. He described this struggle as an internal war between his mind that so desperately wanted to follow the Spirit and his body that was destined to sin and death, Romans 7 and 23. But even in the midst of that deep despair, Paul had hope in Jesus Christ. No amount of willpower, attitude adjustment, or nutrition advice will compel me to make the right food choice all the time. Each day, I battle between what I want to eat and what I know I need to eat. No matter how much I try to change my bad choices, I can only get so far on my own. My real hope for healthy change is through the life-giving spirit of Jesus Christ within me. Eric Colonius. Faith step. Next time you have to make a choice, consider all of the options you have and what you really want to achieve. Then ask Jesus to help you make the healthy, life-giving choice. Amen? Praise be to God. I hope that you enjoyed this encouragement for your soul. And now, at this time, we are waiting on our speaker for this evening. So while we are waiting, I will play another selection. Praise God. God, can't love you enough. Again, we're waiting on our speaker for this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore, who's going to come and conduct our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So while we are waiting, I will play another selection. Come, all ye broken.
come all ye broken, come all ye broken, come all ye broken. Burdens you carry, I want to save you from the weight of the world. My child, why do you tarry? Bring me the things that bind up your soul. For my yoke is easy, the burdens I give are light. Come on, ye broken, come all ye faint of heart, come all ye weary souls, and find your rest in me. Leave the cares of this world far behind. Keep your feet on my word is a lamp. My name is a light. Come all ye broken, come all ye faint of heart, come all ye weary souls, and find your rest. Come all ye faint of heart, come all ye weary souls, and find your rest, and find your rest. Come and find your rest in me.
All ye broken. Again, I allow 15 minutes for our speakers to come, a grace period. After that, I will come with a word. So at this time, I will play another selection while we're waiting on our speaker. Praise be to God.
Desperately
way.
up your hands in the presence of the Lord. Every voice in this room, we have about another 15 seconds. I want you to open your mouth. We have sang for your glory. I will do anything. I wonder what type of praise you will give him until he releases his glory. Somebody raise up your hands and open your mouth now. Can I get somebody to cry out for God in this room? I'm only talking to those of you who are hungry for him. I'm only talking to those of you who are thirsty for him. Open up your mouth and begin to cry out for him now.
Amen. Praise be to God. And now our very own Barbara A. Amore is going to come and conduct our lesson this evening in basic theology. We are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm blessed and highly favored. Thank you. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you. Praise God.
Wonderful. All right. Anybody else on the line with us?
Well, we have a visitor, 914-879. I have to put her on mute because the TV or the radio is too loud.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to open with prayer. Unless you could do that. Would you like to open with prayer? I'll close.
Okay, no problem. Oh. Precious and Heavenly Father, we come again this evening to hear and to read and to understand what basic theology is all about, Lord God. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for waking us up this morning in our right mind, divine healing in our bodies, Lord God. We thank you for our families, our friends, and even our enemies, Lord God. We thank you for all that you're doing and all that you're going to do, Lord God. We ask that you heal those who need a healing, Lord God. Touch them and heal them from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet, Lord God. We know that so much corruption is going on in the world today, Lord God, but we know that you are in the midst of everything, Lord God. We ask that you let your will be done in each and every situation, Lord God. We thank you again for just being who you are, our Jehovah Jireh, Lord God. Our salvation, our everything. We are so glorified in your name, Lord God. We come this evening, even though it's a lesson, Lord God, but we want to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, Lord God. And Lord God, I ask that you touch our speaker this evening, Lord God, and to open up our hearts and minds and ears to hear and to perceive what thus says the Lord. Let your will be done in this lesson, Lord God, and let it be taught in love and understanding, Lord God. And we ask all these blessings. We ask that you forgive us for our sins, present, past, and future, Lord God. We thank you. We love you. We honor and adore you, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells within us to guide us in the way that you would have us to go. In Jesus' holy name, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Thank you for that prayer on our behalf, woman of God. God bless you for that.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we have Valerie, but I have them on mute because of the noise in the background.
Okay, thank you. Amen. So we're going to pick up where we left off, which was the second part of Part B on page 326, talking about the day. And I'll just read that whole thing. I think we looked at all the scriptures, maybe not the last one, 1 Corinthians 15 and 4. Did we look at that at Matthew 12 and 40? I don't think we looked at that.
No, the last scripture we did was
Esther.
Yeah.
So we didn't read Matthew 12, 40 and 1 Corinthians 15 and 4. So I'll just start it again. Good evening, Val. How you doing? God bless you. Glad you could join us.
Praise the Lord. How are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
You on your way home?
Yes.
Okay. How's your dad?
Not good, but he's out of the hospital. He's in the nursing home again.
He's home again. All right. Okay. We'll talk. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. God bless you and him. So we're on page 326 and section B. Again, I read the first half or three quarters. I'm going to read the whole thing all over again. So it's talking about the day. This is the Passion of Christ. The traditional view of a Friday crucifixion has everything to commend it and nothing to contradict it. All the Gospels state that the day following the crucifixion was Sabbath. And we see that in Matthew and in Mark and Luke and John, all the Gospels. So all the Gospels state that the women visited the tomb of Jesus on the day after the Sabbath. That is, on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, and we see that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John also. It was a common practice of the Jews to refer to a part of a day or night as the whole day. We see that in Genesis and 1 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Chronicles, and Esther. So therefore, to fulfill the 3 days and three nights of Matthew 12 and 40, required that the Lord be in the tomb the part of Friday before sundown, so that's day one, all of Saturday, day two, and part of Sunday after sundown on Saturday, and until the resurrection occurred on day three. And, of course, the scriptures say he rose on the third day. That's in 1 Corinthians 15 and 4. So let's take a look at Matthew 12 and 40. Evangelist, we're going to depend on you tonight since our lovely Val is in transit.
Okay.
We're going to look at Matthew 12 and 40 first, and I'll help you out. Matthew 12 and 40.
12 and 40. And 40 says, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. For as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Amen.
Okay. Amen. Thank you. And mine is the message, and I'm going to read its divisions of 39 through 40, and it reads, Jesus said, you're looking for proof, but you're looking for the wrong kind. All you want is something to titillate your curiosity, satisfy your lust for miracles. The only proof you're going to get is what looks like the absence of proof, Jonah evidence. Like Jonah, 3 days and nights in the fish's belly. The Son of Man will be gone 3 days and nights in a deep grave. Mm-hmm. Amen. So he's comparing Jonah to himself, that he was in the whale or in the fish for 3 days, and you know what happened. The whale regurgitated him on the shore, and he came out alive and did what his mission was which was to go and tell Nineveh about their need to repent so they would not be destroyed. Amen.
Amen.
The last one is 1 Corinthians 15 and 4, Evangelist.
Okay.
1 Corinthians 15 and 4. If our listener wants to join in and help us read some scripture, you're more than welcome.
Okay, let me see if they still have.
No, you won't testify. I'm sorry, Nothing, Betsy, but we are just not prepared at all.
I think they are just listening.
Okay, and they might have left the room.
Probably. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 15 and 4.
4.
15 and 4 says, He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture says. Amen?
Amen. So I won't read, if it's a little 3 to 9, I'm not going to read that. So he was buried, and he stayed in the grave, or in the tomb, in the grave, really, because his body was left here and he descended into hell, right?
Mm-hmm.
What did he do while he was in hell?
To set the captives free.
Amen. Excuse me. So now we're looking at part C, the method. 1 second, this is in order.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Crucifixion was Eastern in origin. The Persians practiced it, and Alexander the Great seems to have learned it from them. Phoenicia, famed for its barbaric practices, frequently employed crucifixion. Rome apparently borrowed it from Carthage and perfected it as a means of capital punishment. The extent to which Rome used it staggers the imagination. What do you think about that?
Yeah, they were horrible people. I'm sorry, but they were horrible people. Their method of punishment was just evil.
Can you give us some samples of what they did?
Well, besides crucifying people, they would beat them till the flesh comes off their bones, off their bodies. They would decapitate them. They was, and they say that the barbarians was barbarian, but you imagine these Romans, and you know. Just the thought of it makes my flesh chill.
And one thing comes to mind, and I think it was about the Romans, where when a man had done some crime, they would take one leg and tie it to a horse, and take the other leg and beat the backside of the horse, and they would go in the opposite direction. One went left, one went right. And you know what that did to the victim, and that's horrific, you know, as you're saying. So, wow, thank God we're not in that.
Woo, yes, Lord.
In that system. So after being sentenced, the condemned person was flogged with a leather whip loaded with metal or bone. That's what you just said. He was then required to shoulder the cross beam and carry it to the place of execution. So not only now he's beat, he's bleeding, he's got to carry his own cross. And this beam was approximately 6 feet long and weighed about 30 pounds.
My Lord.
This was affixed to the upright stake, which was already in place at the crucifix, at the execution site, excuse me. Nails about 7 inches long with a head to keep the body from sliding off, were driven through the hands and feet of the victim. Sometimes ropes
were also used to keep the body on the cloth. The Romans had learned to push the feet upward when they nailed them to the cross, so that the victim could lean on the nail and push himself upward momentarily in order to breathe easier. So that's got to be excruciating.
Absolutely.
On the body.
I mean, just imagine. And so this kept the victim alive longer. Death rarely came in less than 36 hours. Oof. And most people survived 2 or 3 days before they died. Insatiable thirst, pain from the scourging, cramps, dizziness, public shame, and the horror of knowing what lay ahead before the release of death all combined to make crucifixion a horrible means of dying. This is what men did to our Lord. And God laid on him the iniquity of us all. He died to pay the penalty of sin, and he died for you and for me.
Wow. Can you imagine going through all of that?
That's all I can say is thank you, Jesus, because he didn't have to do it.
No, he didn't. Oof. But that's what he came for.
He came to die for our sins.
Yes.
And that's what he did. So praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you.
Yes, God. So thank you. And now we're in chapter 51, the meaning of the death of Christ, page 329. So although it is true that the full meaning of the death of Christ cannot be captured in one or two slogan-like statements, it is also true that its central meaning can and must be focused on several very basic ideas. There are four such basic doctrines. Christ's death was a substitution for sinners, a redemption in relation to sin, a reconciliation in relation to man, and a propitiation in relation to God. Not to emphasize these four or not to insist on their basic importance to a proper understanding of the meaning of the death of Christ is to beggar or even pervert the biblical concept. For example, it is proper and biblical to view the death of Christ as a great display of the love of God, or to see it as an example for us to be self-sacrificing. These are biblical truths, and we see that in John 15:13 and Romans 5:8. But if these comprised the only meaning of the death of Christ, there would be no eternal value in it. It must provide a substitution and a payment for sin, or the example means relatively little. So we must understand these basic facts first, for they form the saving and eternal meaning of the death of our Lord. Any thoughts about that?
No.
Okay. All right. Number one, a substitution for sinners. A, the concept of substitutionary atonement. Number one, the meaning of substitutionary atonement. Substitutionary or vicarious atonement simply means that Christ suffered as a substitute for us, that is, instead of us, resulting in the advantage to us of paying for our sins. Man could atone for his sins personally only if he could suffer eternally the penalty that sin incurred. Man, of course, could never do this. So in his love and compassion, God stepped into a hopeless situation and provided a vicar in Christ Jesus, who did provide an eternal satisfaction for sin. Any thoughts about that?
Well, the truth is that we as human beings could not go through what Christ went through for us. So he was the only substitute to die on the cross for us.
Mm-hmm.
we couldn't do it because we were sinful.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't. So to atone for our sins is reason why he had to go on the cross to die for us.
Mm-hmm.
For his blood is what cleansed us from our sins.
Amen. Amen. He had to be sinless.
Yes.
And he had to be human. He had to be human. So we know he was deity, 100%, and human being, 100%. So the only way that God would receive the substitution for us was mm-hmm. to use another human being. And like you said, not many would have, you know, gone that route.
Nope.
You know, not saying that it couldn't be done. Yeah, you could do it, but you're not sinless. You're dirty,
exactly.
You know? So mm-hmm. that would not have been accepted. Would not have been
exactly.
accepted.
Yes.
Amen. So we had exactly. to have a Savior. We're in need of a Savior. And thank
Hallelujah.
God we have one.
Thank you,
thank God.
God.
Yeah. But,
mm-hmm.
And now we're looking at the personal atonement and the vicarious atonement. Provided by the offending party, a matter of strict justice, never mm-hmm. finished. That's personal atonement.
Mm-hmm.
Provided by the offending party, excuse me, a matter of strict justice and never finished. And vicarious atonement, which is basically through someone else, provided by the offended party, a combination of justice and love, and a completed sacrifice. So that's describing Jesus, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Victorious.
And he did both. Didn't we just see that he did personal and vicarious?
Amen.
All right, so let me see.
The only one that could have done it.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to go back and find that. I saw that stuff that you're trying
okay.
to do. God stepped in a hopeless situation, provided a vicar, the vicariousness, in Jesus Christ, who did provide an eternal satisfaction for sin. Let's just let me find out what this vicar is, unless you know. Did you happen to look for that?
Yeah. It's the Vicar of Christ. It's in the Roman Catholic Church. It's a title of the Pope.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So the Vicar.
Yes.
God stepped into a hopeless situation and provided a vicar in
mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ. Someone
Amen.
Who was in a position like, as we know it, to be a pope, but even higher
oh, yes.
than a pope.
Mm.
Yes, who did provide an eternal satisfaction for sin. So number two, page 330, objections to substitutionary atonement. Certain objections have been raised against this concept. A. The idea of substitutionary atonement makes God unjust, since he condemned his son to bear the sins of mankind. This might be a valid objection, except for the fact that the triune God was involved in planning redemption, and the son voluntarily took upon himself the work of substitution. In other words, although this might be a valid objection on a finite level, it cannot mm-hmm. be on the infinite level, since at that level, there are not three separate parties involved. Any questions?
Can you explain that?
So
about
the trial?
No, about the part. In other words, although this might be a valid objection on the infinite level, it cannot be on the infinite level, since that
okay.
level, there it is, the level of the three separate parties involved. So
mm-hmm.
are they talking about
God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit?
Right. Talking about the triune God.
Okay.
Was involved in planning the redemption. So the Father, mm-hmm. Son, and the Holy Ghost were involved in planning it. And the Son of the three voluntarily took upon himself to work the work of the substitution. In other words, although this might be a valid objection on a finite level, in mm-hmm. other words, finite meaning a small level and a narrow view, it cannot be on the infinite level, in the bigger scope of things.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So since at that level, there are not three separate parties involved. So what parties were involved?
If it wasn't all three of them, so it could only be God and Christ.
Well, the one that was crucified, that one who volunteered, was Jesus Christ.
Right.
So it was only him. It says, since at that level, there are not three separate parties involved. So although it's the triune God, again, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, when we talked about the substitutionary atonement, that was just Jesus.
Okay.
Because the Father was still in heaven. When, remember on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He was talking to his Father in heaven. And then once he died and rose again, when the Father said, he sent the Holy Spirit back. So it was only Jesus on that cross.
Okay.
By himself.
Wow. Got it now.
Mm. Right? So it's saying that it cannot be on the infinite level. At that level, there are not three separate parties involved. Let me just double check finite and infinite, just to finite. And this doesn't like to work when I'm on the phone. Okay. Sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. Sorry. Hey, finite, here we go. It's having limits or bounds. So like I said, like in a small way, it was not on a finite level. It was not on a small level that was the whole sentence. In other words, although this might be a valid objection on a limited level, it cannot be on a larger level. So what is Is that making it better for you, clearer?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I see it now.
Okay. And then the other thing, finite, let me just read the full meaning. Having definite or definable limits, a finite number of possibilities, having a limited nature or existence, completely determinable in theory or in fact by counting, measurement, or thought, less than an arbitrary positive integer, and that's math. Or relating to or being a verb, or okay, you got that. So I just want to see one more thing, which is the antonym. And I think I have to go under that.
Okay.
There we go. Infinite. Meaning not. Here we go. Infinite is limitless, which again is the opposite of what finite is. What is finite again?
Limit. Oh.
Yes.
I forgot that.
Yes.
It was limit.
Okay. Finite is limited, like in a small way, as I tried to share, not a deep thing.
Yes.
And infinite is limitless, it's boundless. So I'll read that sentence again. In other words, although this might be a valid objection on a limited level, it cannot be on the boundless level. Since at that level, there are not three separate parties involved. So I just hope that kind of helps us, okay?
Okay.
Infinite is without limits. Finite is with limits.
Okay.
So here we go. And the next part is, where is that? Okay. The vicarious atonement, which is about midway the page. Vicarious atonement makes the innocent Christ suffer for the wicked. This is absolutely true and is essential to atonement. It is also plainly scriptural, 1 Peter 3:18. Therefore, as to raise this as an objection is to question the plan and purpose of God. So to raise the fact that he was a vicarious atonement makes the innocent Christ suffer for the wicked. He provided for us. He was a combination of justice and love and completed a sacrifice in his being crucified. All right? You understand that, right?
Yeah.
So would you look at 1 Peter 3:18?
Okay.
What time is it? We got a couple of minutes. 1 Peter 3:18
says, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but was raised to life in the spirit.
Amen. Amen. And the message reads from 13 to 18. It says, if with heart and soul you're doing good, do you think you can be stopped? Even if you suffer for it, you're still better off. Don't give the opposition a second thought. Through thick and thin, keep your hearts at attention and adoration before Christ, your master. Be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks why you're living the way you are, and always with the utmost courtesy. Keep a clear conscience before God so that when people throw mud at you, none of it will stick. They'll end up realizing that they're the ones who need a bath.
All
it's better to suffer for doing good, if that's what God wants, than to be punished for doing bad. That's what Christ did definitively. Suffered because of others' sins, the righteous one or the unrighteous ones. He went through it all, was put to death, and then made alive to bring us to God. Amen.
Amen.
So we have to remember that when we get into verbal altercations with people that want to put us down, you know.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What are we supposed to do in that situation?
Well, me, I don't do anything.
I said, what are we supposed to do? Not what you do, but unless you do what you're supposed to do.
And what is that?
I'm asking you. That's the question. What are we supposed to do?
I was doing something else, and I didn't hear everything you said.
Oh. So what are we supposed to do when we are attacked as Christians? Do we fight back? Do we curse them out? Do we slap them on the face, kick them down, and tell them how awful they are, or what?
We're supposed to just turn the other cheek. That's what the Bible says. If anyone offends
you. I'm saying, what do you say? What do you say?
Well, me, as a human being, my first reaction, if you touch me, I'm going to touch you back. Because at that heated moment in time, I'm not thinking, nice.
I didn't ask you what you do. I said, what are we supposed to do?
Well, we're supposed to not do anything but listen and let them
finished doing what they're doing, and then you tell them about the word of God. That's what I would do. It's not
after
easy.
They finish cursing you out and flinging you through the mud and all of that?
Yes, that's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to get angry and fight back. That's not
you
God's
can get angry.
Way.
Nothing is wrong with that. But let me read this part again. It says, through thick and thin, keep your hearts at attention and adoration before Christ, your master. Be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks why you're living the way you are, which is good, supposed to be, and always with the utmost courtesy. Be nice. Keep a clear conscience before God so that when people throw mud at you, here it is, none of it will stick. They'll end up realizing that they're the ones who need a bath. It's better to suffer for doing good, if that's what God wants, than to be punished for doing bad. That's what Christ did definitively. He was punished for being good, right? And so he suffered because of others' sins, the righteous one for the unrighteous ones. He went through it all, was put to death. And then made alive to bring us to God. So what it's basically saying is that when people want to act nasty and stuff, you stay calm as you can. Sometimes you don't even have to respond. Like the first time you said something, I think you said you do nothing.
Right.
You listen, but you don't have to go off and act like they're acting.
Exactly.
All right?
Uh-huh.
If you can. If you can, because some people are weaker than others, and they follow suit with the one that's attacking them, and it's two people attacking, right?
Yes.
But you should try to stay calm, and so the mud that they're slinging on you goes back on them.
Right.
That makes them look bad. You're still looking, you know, rather saintly, and they're the ones looking silly and dirty with mud and stuff. That's all.
Exactly. In other words, when it comes to that kind of people, we have to have a thick skin.
Yes. Yes. And you can also remove yourself from this situation.
From the situation.
You don't have to stay there and take it. You can leave.
Yes. Amen.
But we're supposed to be, we're supposed,
No, I was laughing.
We're supposed to be better than you know, to come back at them in that same way. Because we know Jesus.
Exactly.
We know what he did for us. All right? And so we're supposed to know better. We're supposed to know better. We do know better.
We do know
sometimes that flesh. I didn't hear you.
I'm saying we do know better. If we are Christian, we supposed to know better. We do better.
Supposed to.
If you don't know better, you ain't going to do better. But sometimes.
But again, you know, sometimes.
To get in the way.
Sometimes being a Christian,
that
they
God
throw that
fights
out
a battle.
What happened?
I say that God fights your battle. And all
right.
That stuff you said, just, you know, you know, ready to be punished for something you didn't do than something you did. We're going to suffer like because Jesus suffered for us, not because we're wrong.
But we know when we get into arguments with people, that stuff goes out the window much of the time. And you find yourself acting just like the one that attacked you. And that's not good.
Yeah,
all right. You're supposed
that.
To be, you're supposed to be different from the world.
Yes.
Anybody in the world can act that way, you know. When you get attacked, they attack back, and you know anybody can do that. But we're supposed to be the example,
right?
So that when we speak to them about being a Christian, they can see it in you. You're living proof. This is what Christians do.
And I think,
amen.
I think that we got this natural nature, just our sinful nature is the same as those that are in the world. That's why when we act out, suppose somebody hits you and you just naturally hit back. You wasn't contemplating that. So when we act out, God give us a, God, so that's why he told us to go to your brother and forgive one another, because we are going to act out.
All right. So we have to be strong mm-hmm. and courageous. Mm-hmm. And really, like I said, try to let them see the Jesus in us.
Right.
You know?
We have to let the light of Jesus shine through us and let the people right. know that.
And you can't do that by cussing and fighting and fussing
nope.
and all of that. That's not letting the light shine. That is totally not letting the light shine.
That's the
I said clearly in my situation that God just wants me to sit back and let him fight my battles. Because sometimes it just gets, when it's so big, it's bigger than you. You know you got to rely on God.
Mm-hmm.
I almost said
it
the higher power, but then... But people, you got that's the milk. You got to feed them the higher power, because a lot of people don't want to trust and believe God. But it's God that, you know, takes care of fights our battles when it's mm-hmm. bigger than us.
If you let him, because some people like to fight their own battles, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
They like to fight their own battles, and this is telling us that we not to do that. We're trying to get someone to become a Christian or to, you know, see the Jesus in us. And if you're telling them, come to church with me on Sunday, and you just cuss them out, who wants to come with you? Anyway.
You just make it a visit on Easter Sunday, Sister Barbara.
I didn't hear you.
I say you just might get a visit at the young girl that came to church with me.
Okay, she said she was coming. She said
yeah.
she was coming, and if she
and she's
does,
thinking about
then, you know,
churches, so she just might.
She said she might come with her son.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That would be lovely. She's welcome. So where are we now? What time is it? We got like 6 minutes. We're not going to take all of that.
We got 1 minute and 21 seconds.
We got what?
1 minute, 15, 14.
Oh, I looked at it wrong. Okay, I thought it said, okay. So we're going to stop. We're going to put a
right.
pin on it. I'm trying to end it. I'm trying to, we stopped at C.
Yes.
Okay, that's where we stopped. We're putting a pin in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Valerie, you want to pray us out?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I come to you as humble as I know how, Lord Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
You said that where there is two or three, there you are in the midst. Lord, we thank you for your presence, your power, your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Because we know you answer prayers. We know you're all powerful. We know you got the answer to every problem, Jesus.
That's right.
Father, don't love me. We give it to you, our problems, and ask that you work it out for us, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
We surrender to you to fight, Lord God. Help
thank
us to
Jesus.
Fight a good fight, Lord God. And we know that the battle is not ours, but it is yours.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name, let us be strengthened, Lord God. Father God. We love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Increase
yes,
our faith and strengthen us.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Thank
you, Jesus.
And I'd just like to add something. I wanted to say, dear Father God, I'm praying right now for Overseer Mayhew. He has just undergone surgery. I'm not sure if it was heart surgery, but he's in the hospital still in Montefiore, I believe. And we're praying for his strength and his recovery and his healing, because he was just in the hospital not long ago, sometime I think in January. So we're praying for him, Lord God. He's a good person. We love him. We just praying for his strength. Praying also for
Sister Marie's grandson, who's about 8 years old, he is also in the hospital, and he had something happen, and she said she got there today. He had a seizure while she was there. So we're praying for his recovery, Lord God. And anybody else that we know of or may not know of, praying for their strength if they're going through anything right now. Lord, just increase their faith and increase their strength and allow them to recover. If it be thy will, Father God, we're just asking and believing that it will be done. And all these blessings we ask and asking for forgiveness of our sins. And Lord God, give us hush mouth grace so that, again, when we are attacked, and it will happen, that we will know that we don't have to respond to every sling of outrageous fortune that is spewed upon us. Sometimes you just ignore it because, you know, people do things that are just what they are, you know, human. So we thank you for allowing us to understand these things, and thank you for giving us wisdom, knowing when to and when not to. And all these blessings. Bless the ladies on the line. Bless their families. Bless their situations. And increase their faith, Lord. Increase their courage.
Yes, Lord.
Increase their strength. All these things I'm asking in the matchless name of your Son, our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, ladies. Have
Thank
a blessed
you.
Evening. Oh, you're so welcome.
Oh, I love you.
Hug Chico for me, okay?
I will.
And love you both. Just stay strong. Love you, listener. Maybe next time you can say something. But thank you for joining us tonight. Y'all have a blessed one. Hugs, blessings, kisses, peace, and love. Until the next time.
Love you guys. Mm-hmm.
Shalom. Amen.
Shalom. Good night, everybody.
Amen. Love you.
On that note.